thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Brackets.
Here's John Williams.
You don't even have to be good. Mm-mm. In the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is John all the way until 3 weekdays. Saturdays, 10 to noon, social media, WGN King John Mincing Rascals is our podcast. Search for it, and remember, you can get it on Spotify. Just type in The Mincing Rascals, and there will be the best podcast in the city, said the Headliners Club of Chicago. By the way, Thomas Jefferson was on our show yesterday. The third president of the United States, you may know, makes regular appearances in the city and on this show. He and I are going to be on stage at the Tivoli Theater. That's going to be in Downers Grove, and the show is going to be Saturday, May 18th at 10 a.m., Now, you cannot yet buy tickets. I plan on telling you Monday on this show when and how to get tickets. But would you please circle 10 a.m. Saturday, May 18th, Downers Grove, for our next conversation with Thomas Jefferson. We talked about all kinds of things. Yesterday, when he was on our show, I was literally just reading scores of texts that were coming in. From a texter. Mr. President, were you aware of the great artists of your time, like Mozart and Beethoven?
I knew Mozart's work. I saw some of it during my time in France. I was aware of Beethoven, sort of, but I can tell you this, as a rationalist, as a lover of Bach, I found it too wild and romantic.
Well, then I won't get you tickets to Lollapalooza, because we were talking about the lineup in August, and that thing's going to rock.
Anything that ends with Palooza, I'm not going to attend.
We didn't talk a lot about music, but maybe just as well in that case. But whatever your questions are for Mr. Jefferson when he's on stage at the theater, be them current events or events 200 years ago, he takes them on in costume, in character, and to the T. Thomas Jefferson and I on stage. Now, tickets, details Monday on this show, but be ready to attend on Saturday, May 18th. Real quick note here about the NCAA. Looks like Minnesota's going to win the 10 over the 7 with 3 minutes left. Well, now it's a 10-point spread, so Minnesota 74, Louisville 64. Louisville is down almost 20. They're getting closer now. Second half with 11 minutes left, it's LSU, the 3 seed, 57, and Yale's giving them a run at 46. So 57-46, LSU is beating Yale right now. They are getting close to the end of the first half. Right now, it's Auburn, 28. That's the 5 seed over New Mexico State, the 12 seed, 28-22 there. And they're just underway. Vermont, the 13, is taking on Florida State. We'll keep you posted on the NCAA brackets. There's a story online today in the Tribune. I didn't see the print edition. Maybe it's there, too. They say that CVS, the pharmacy chain, is going to have CBD products in their stores. I was talking off the air a couple of days ago to a guy who knows about this industry, and he said CBD. And I said, what is that? And Alex Howe, the president of Power Plant Strategies, paused and he said, CBD. You don't know what CBD is? And we both chuckle now, Alex, because I'm now getting an education on what CBD is, but I sure didn't last week. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Before we get to that, good, thank you. What is Power Plant Strategies? What do you folks do?
So we're a communications and strategic partnerships firm that exclusively works with companies in the cannabis space. So be they plant touching, which is what we call folks who actually cultivate and distribute THC or CBD products, or those ancillary companies that are the picks and shovels effectively of supporting the industry.
So you guys do communications for the recreational marijuana business, huh?
Recreational, medical, nonprofits that work in the space, financial firms that invest in the space, brands.
It's coming to Illinois, it looks like, anyway. What is CBD?
So CBD is one of 113 cannabinoids, which are the building block of the cannabis plant. It's probably the second best known of the two. THC is the better known. That's the psychoactive property of marijuana. It's what gets you high. CBD does not have psychoactive properties and has been linked to a lot of benefits for folks, although you can't make any health claims because they haven't been fully vetted by research, at least here in this country. Israel and Canada and some other places are a little further along. But it's often linked with reducing anxiety, help with sleep, help with anti-inflammation properties. But again, it's one of these things that it's becoming better and better understood as we basically regulate it and allow it more into society and culture.
Hmm. So what are the federal regulations on that? This is a legal product, right?
Kind of. It's as confusing as it can be. Basically, as long as you are talking about, quote, hemp or industrial hemp, which is the plant that has less than 0.3% THC, that psychoactive property that gets you high, you are dealing with a plant, a commodity, that is now under the FDA's jurisdiction. It went from the Justice Department when it was considered a Schedule I drug alongside, you know, some of the most sinister drugs out there, claiming that it had 0% or zero possible health benefits.
Right.
It's now, if you're in this hemp category under 0.3% THC, it's now considered a Schedule V, which means it can be studied, it can be transported across state lines, obviously not subject to the same type of onerous policies.
Yeah, but it can also be then, evidently, because it's recreational marijuana is not legal in Illinois, but my local drugstore is going to have creams with CBD, sprays with CBD, lotions with CBD. So I guess it's possible for them to do this, right?
That's right, and it's state by state, but it's still even then a little bit of a gray area. I don't want to take away from how notable it is that CVS just announced last night they are, in fact, going to be selling topical products, at least to start, that do contain CBD. There's where the confusion gets even more apparent is there has now been two, I believe, FDA-approved drugs that contain CBD. So they're mostly focused on epilepsy in children. But by doing so, the FDA has said, this is what we believe the use of this product is. So if you are using it for something else outside of that, you may be breaking some laws. They haven't really too much cracked down on it beyond serving warnings and things to folks who are putting CBD into various products. But just last week, the outgoing commissioner of the FDA made a point that, look, we're not allowing it into food products. It's got to be very clearly labeled. It can't be over 0.3% THC to our earlier conversation about it. So it's a little bit of state by state, up in the air, who's really going to enforce it? Will pharmaceutical companies be the one to push back on it?
I don't blame CVS.
A lot of questions.
Sure, but I mean, it appears that the answer is going to be in Illinois. While I won't, you told me that there are CBD laced edibles. Wine will have it. As I recall, you mentioned dog treats that would have CBD, all maybe for the purposes of chilling people out, making you not high, as you said, but at least a little more relaxed, cut some of the anxiety in your family, your friends, or your pooch. And I get all of that. I guess I would just rub it on my hands. and you know, we're used to herbs and other. This would be on the shelves, right? I don't need a prescription. I just go and pick some up, right?
That's right. And again, that piece of it of whether it's completely legal or not is very state specific. So Illinois, like you said, is both medical and adult use, which means you don't need a prescription. It's treated as if it were, and this is both CBD and THC products. If you're 21, you can purchase a THC product. If you don't have to be 21, however, to purchase a product with CBD in it.
Well,
and like you said, it's often being used for topicals, things that you put on your skin.
Well, how else would I use it in this case in Illinois? I mean, it sounds like all they're allowing me right now is sort of external rubs and that sort of thing. I know you're an
right,
go ahead, finish that thought.
You'll find CBD and hemp-based products in natural food stores, in dispensaries, and licensed shops that actually sell THC products. You'll probably find a lot more of that, and online, for that matter, in ingestible formats. So you'll see it in a lot of gummies and edible products. You'll see it in tinctures and oils that you take sublingually, so put under your tongue. There are gel caps and vitamins, basically, that you take.
Can I vape it?
There's a lot of different ways to get your CBD.
Yeah.
CVS is initially starting with topicals, balms, creams, salves.
Can I vape it?
You can. And there's a lot of interesting research going on as to what the most effective formulations are, and whether or not to combine those with THC as well. But yes, you can vape CBD and get vape pens, they're called, that don't have any THC in them and often will affect you a little bit quicker than some of those other forms. It just goes immediately into your system rather than waiting for, say, a gel cap.
I get that. Okay, so I've got just a couple more questions. You may have one, too. The number's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can call or text on a phone line. Alex Howe is the president of Power Plant Strategies. He works with the hemp or marijuana industries, and this announcement that CVS is going to allow CBD products. It doesn't have THC, but it's in the hemp family, and you'll be able to buy it as creams and lotions and sprays. I also just wonder, I know you're an advocate for the business, but does this stuff work? Because sometimes I think we're all also used to remedies or supplements or ideas that sound like they might work, but maybe they don't. And I think a lot of us take or consume these things thinking, okay, what's the harm? Maybe it will help, but I'm not expecting a lot here. Now, maybe some people will have positive reactions, but I also wonder if this just isn't one of those things that, you know, they quote-unquote say it might help with your anxiety, but does it really? And the research is still pending on that. Just give me your best or worst case on that in a minute on WGN. A couple more minutes left with Alex Howe. He is with Power Plant Strategies, and they work with the plant business, hemp, you know, marijuana, that sort of thing. And this is a going concern. The valuations of companies, the trading and selling, and the fact that it's coming to Illinois is fascinating to me. Now, this isn't THC, but it's in that family. And this is a non-psychoactive part of the plant. Boy, I'm not real good on my vocabulary here, but that's the way he's been describing it. Do you remember when Saturday Night Live did the bit? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, Alex, but do you remember the thing they did for puppy uppers and doggy downers where you give your dogs the same sort of pills that human beings were taking illegally once upon a time? Do you remember the SNL bit on that?
I do. Great skit.
I've got a couple calls, and just in the time we have remaining, though, address my concern before the break that maybe this is a product that isn't going to do you any harm, but does it really do you any good when I rub my hands with a CBD lotion?
Sure. So, look, there's nothing I don't think on this planet that every single person is going to react the same to, but I can tell you a lot of people have had some really great experiences from CBD specifically and from the plant. It's going to be something you hear more and more about as we learn what it does and maximize its use. I would say that, unfortunately, there are some bad actors out there who purport to have high concentrations of CBD or other beneficial properties in
right.
their products. And they're, just like everyone else, probably trying to make a quick buck and don't necessarily have what they say that's in there. There are, however, many great companies out there that do what they say and have had some really great, even anecdotal reports from folks. It's one of these things that hasn't been studied enough for me to tell you this percentage of people say they're benefiting from it, but I I share products with friends and family pretty consistently, and almost everyone tells me they notice something beneficial. And look, it's really it's a personal kind of reaction that a lot of folks
have. Is there
have,
a brand name?
I would encourage.
Is there a brand name or brand names that we'll see on the store shelves?
Absolutely. I mean, you'll see products from companies like Functional Remedies, from Harvest Health and Recreation that just acquired Verano, which is based there in Illinois, and a lot of their products that are high in CBD, CBN, and others. There are some good ones out there for sure, and I would just encourage everyone to do a bit of their own due diligence or speak with their health providers on it and get a little bit more information on what seems to be working, and talk to your friends. You know, there might be something that works for someone you know that is exactly the kind of issue you're looking to improve in your own life.
Some of our callers are talking about it, but Renee is on a phone line, and Mary is too. Renee, oops, I just lost Renee. Mary, you go. Mary, your dog takes this stuff, is that right?
Yes, yes. She's a 12-year-old beagle. She's a rescue dog. We've had her almost 2 years, and when we got her, she was having seizures. So we were at the pet store. We were at Two Boston's Pet Store in Naperville, and we told the manager there, and she told us that her dog takes CBD oil. So we've been using it for Betty, and she rarely has a seizure now, where before she would have seizures maybe a couple times a week or, you know, a month, and it's really working for Betty.
I should get some of this for Daisy. Our Dizzy Dappled Dachshund is also a rescue and has high anxiety when I'm in the room.
She's decided
I'm the bad
guy. Oh, yes. Betty, too, was abused, so she's very anxious and afraid of everything, but it calms them down, too, not just for seizures, but for anxiety, too, yes.
Wow. Mary, thanks for the phone call.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Well, Alex, you said that they lace it into those kind of products, too, so here we go. Alex, fascinating. Thank you for your time, and you know I'm going to call you again as this story continues to unfold here.
Absolutely. Happy to help.
Alex Howe is with Power Plant Strategies. And by the way, the names of those brands, he said, Functional Remedies and Harvest Health, are ones that you may see on the shelves in Illinois soon. It's 128. More news coming up next on WGN. Thank you very much, David Jennings. By the way, getting ready to leave the building and head out to the United Center with Rowan Anna and company is Kevin Powell. He's looking at some of the sports scores right now. You mentioned a few of them. You want to update us any further?
Here we go. Minnesota knocking off Louisville. Minnesota was a 10 seed. Louisville a 7. Minnesota winning 86-76. Also going on as March Madness begins, Florida State leading Vermont 21-19. Just a 2-point lead there. Florida State is a 4 seed. Vermont a 13. Auburn leading New Mexico State 32-29.
Auburn and New Mexico. That's a 12-5, right?
That's a 12-5.
And what's the score on that one?
That is 32-29, Auburn leading. So those are the games everybody sort of... It always feels like a 12 knocks off a 5, John? You got to have one in your bracket every year.
Are you kidding me? Of the four 12s, three of them advance in my brackets.
I love it.
The only 12-5 I have going the way this, you know, the experts say the 5 advancing is the Wisconsin game. Mm-hmm. I've got Wisconsin winning, but I've got all the other 12s. So this is very interesting to me, this 12-5, 32-29, 3-point spread right now.
Correct. And the other game is LSU, a 3 seed, leading Yale, a 14 seed, 65-56. LSU up on Yale, 65-56.
How much time left in that bad boy?
We still got about 3:30 left in that one.
Right.
So bit of chunk. It looks like Yale's going to get knocked off there. The Auburn-New Mexico State game is at halftime, and Florida State-Vermont still about 5 minutes left in that one.
And
in the first half, I should say.
Michigan State, have they tipped off yet?
They have not. Michigan State Bradley tips in about 9 minutes. 1:45 is the tip for that one.
You went to the Bulls game last night?
Yes, John. With all due respect to the IHSA, that was high school basketball. Holy wow. That is something right now. it's tough. John, look, I was forever all NBA over the NCAA forever. Because why? Because the NBA has more talent. The best players in the NCAA go where? They go to the NBA, meaning there's more talent in the NBA. They're the best players in the world. The NCAA has been so much more entertaining to me this year by a wide margin. And yes, it probably doesn't help that the Bulls aren't good. And the Bulls are very bad. But man, that was some bad basketball last night. It got look, it was entertaining. It went to overtime. But I'm watching. I go, what is this? I go, this is what the NBA is? And the guys are like kicking the ball around. Guys are like throwing passes where nobody is. It was so bad. I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. I just went as a fan. I wasn't there as a reporter. So
yeah, but I feel bad for the people because I've seen some games like that. And when I do, I always say this. Glad I didn't pay for these tickets.
I didn't pay for them, thankfully.
That's what I'm telling you.
It was so a friend said, hey, I got some half court.
And
you
the
know,
Bulls, I believe, are number three in the NBA for attendance.
Which, oh, yeah. I mean, it was still a pretty big crowd.
I know.
But and it was still fun because the Bulls, I mean, it's the Bulls. It's United Center. United Center is the best in-game production arena in the country.
I guess
it's
so.
Amazing.
You know, I was talking about this to somebody, and they say, yeah, but it's the Michael Jordan thing. And I'm going,
I think that factors in, John.
Did Jordan play last night?
Did Pippen
play last night? Do you want me to do this for a while? None of those guys are playing anymore. Their kids aren't even playing. So
yeah, like, but you know what, John? I saw a kid who probably looked like he was 13 and he had a Michael Jordan jersey.
That does not. Well, then, good for him. But I mean, how does that help you as a fan? Were you going, wow, look at that jersey sitting on that kid in front of me? I'm glad I dropped $182.
Yeah. I guess it's just sort of one of the meccas of basketball, you know?
People
make the pilgrimage to the United Center to see the statue, to see the Bulls, the iconic Bulls
they
logo.
Do that to Wrigley. Do they really do that, do you think?
I think so. I really do, John. I really do. The highlight of my night was, you know, when they do the parachuting of the shirts and the
yes,
and
that's
the prizes?
A very cool thing.
I caught one. And it wasn't a shirt. It was the good one. It was the Benny the Bull little stuffed animal. And I got one, John, right as we were leaving. And I'm like, wait, they're parachuting them all out. And I grabbed one, snatched it out of the air. That was a hot
Griff, I think we now know why he had such a good time. This endorsement of the Bulls game, I think, is because you got in for free and you walked out with a free parachute.
Well,
t-shirt.
I gave the stuff, you know.
I got lost somewhere in the middle. Do we like basketball or we don't like basketball?
No, I love basketball.
Okay.
I love basketball when it's played well.
Right, and last night it wasn't, but you had a fun time.
I had a great time. It's still the United States.
Oh, imagine.
Had a lot of fun.
I'll tell you what, buddy, then you are a sports fan unlike me because, and by the way, do this. This would be a fun experiment for you, Kevin. Spend $200 on tickets.
Yeah.
And then get back to me and let me know how that works. Because I feel bad for those people. And here's what
I hear you.
Here's what I also can't get my head around. If I was a player and I'm going, all right, well, you know, we suck and we'll get Zion Williamson. So we're learning. I would feel terrible if I did not put out 110% because
that's your product.
Look at all those people. It's not just personal pride. It's that guy, that Joe Welder there or Joe Fancy Guy. I guess they're the ones that go, but they paid a lot of money to see this.
I think at this point you can probably go on StubHub about 30 minutes before the game and get pretty cheap tickets. But yes, I completely understand what you're saying. But being there, John, it just goes to show you what the brand of the Bulls is. And
to you.
What do you mean to me? Like,
I mean, I'm not going to the United Center.
You're not going to pay to go see
the Bulls. To a Bulls game, I don't just swim in the Michael Jordan-ness of it and go, oh,
right.
I'm here.
No, it does nothing for me. I hear you. No, I hear you. I'm saying, but sitting there, I was more observing, like, wow, this many people are here. And seeing how passionate people are, like, people are screaming at the game. I'm like,
no, they're not. They're screaming at the parachutes. They're screaming at the t-shirt cannon.
No, they were into it, man. I'm telling you, John. Like, that's how the brand of the Bulls is still very, very strong. And it was still packed in there. It wasn't jam-packed like it's going to be for the Blackhawks tonight. Certainly wasn't the atmosphere like
it's
going to
be. You were at the Bulls. Are we talking about the Chicago Bulls?
The Chicago Bulls. Well, when I was talking to you off the air, I just simply called that high school basketball. It looked like high school basketball, with all due respect to high school basketball in the state of Illinois.
Some high school teams right now are going, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Right. It was a lot of fun. Yes, I'm with you. I'm probably not dropping a lot of dough to go see a Bulls game. But when a friend says, hey, I got 10th row tickets, mid-court, you want to go? Sure, why not? I was in and out of there for $15, bought myself a beer, bought him a beer for bringing me to the game, and
Do me a favor. If you bought ticket, if you paid, and somebody did, because I know they're not giving
I would love
away.
To hear how much somebody spent for tickets last
and
time.
How they feel about what they saw.
After what they saw.
No, seriously. No, I mean, if you're a Bulls fan, this is not a sports station or a sports show, but I've been intrigued by this. Mm-hmm. There have been a period of time in the Blackhawks season this year where, you know, they fill it to the rafters and the team's not doing well. Blackhawks are a different story, though, because
they're coming off three Stanley Cups. I mean, they're in the middle of a golden era for them.
And they may be in the playoffs yet this year, so at least they're playing better hockey now, blah, blah, blah. So I don't think that's a fair comparison. But I still look at those people in the crowd and go, you paid and I didn't, and I wonder how you feel about that right now. I just don't understand it. 312-981-7200 if you care to chime in.
It's my Bulls rant for the day, John. I know you were looking for that.
Yeah, so getting back to those NCAA scores, that's our college basketball roundup with Kevin. Thank you, Kevin.
Hey, I just want to point out that in our WGN Bracket League, which there's quite a lot of us, 13 of us knew that Minnesota was going to win that game.
I think that we're Big Ten fans around here, one. But was that, so most folks in the poll here, in the pool here, had Minnesota advancing?
No, not the majority.
Oh, really?
But there was a handful of
them. But more than I would have thought, yeah, 13.
Gotcha. 13 said that Minnesota advances. Well, good for them.
Minnesota plays the winner of the Bradley-Michigan State game.
You got that 12-5 one now? Is that the New Mexico State-Auburn game?
12-5 one, yes, I do. Just let me stall here for a second, John.
By the time we get done with your rant, the game may be over.
The 12-5 Auburn, that's halftime game. So it's Auburn, the 5 seed, is leading 32-29 over New Mexico State.
All right, you're heading out to the United Center?
Yeah, I got to go right now.
Are you going to go,
John?
Oh, I'm here at the United Center. Oh, I feel the Bulls.
Kind of, yeah, because this is like a playoff game and it's going to be an awesome atmosphere, so I can't wait for tonight.
Have fun, man.
Thanks, Jeff.
It'll be a good broadcast. It always is when they're out there. By the way, Gina wanted to say something about that. Hi, Gina. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say, Kevin is right on mark. The people who go to the Bulls games, the Bulls fans are Bulls fans, no matter whether winning or losing. I love the Bulls. I don't care if they win. I like to see if they make a really great play, or you know, like you start getting excited about plays. But I love them. I mean, so you need to go to a game. That's what I'm saying. You're making all these comments, but you're not going to the game.
Are you a diehard Bulls? How much of the Jordan effect plays a role into that? Did Jordan steal your heart? Did that whole Bulls era completely win you over?
I would say that's when they hooked me, yes.
Yeah.
But I
you know
I
he's not playing now, right?
It's fun. It's a blast. I love going to the games. So, you know, if you're a Bulls fan, you like them if they win or lose, I think.
John, let's find some cheap tickets on StubHub, and you and I will go to a game by the end of the year.
Thank you for the call, Gina.
You should.
Bye now.
Thanks for chiming in. John, you and I are going to go.
Okay. Yeah, really, I think that would be a good test for the both of us, just to see. Because here's the thing.
I mean, tickets are discounted.
Yeah. If I was able to get decent seats for $47, maybe I'd say, hey, I got $47 worth of value.
Yeah.
But I sure don't think I'd be getting $100.
Right. It is, I mean, your argument against the Bulls here applies to every, not only basketball team, but every sporting team, right? All tickets are too expensive.
Right.
So for you to use that as like, oh, that's why I would never go see the Bulls. I know they're terrible too, but
tickets, food, beer, too expensive. Everything.
John, you're buying since you're the host.
I don't see. No.
Thanks.
No,
appreciate it. Lauren, you're invited. Griff, you can come.
Oh, John, that's so nice of you.
But like, I don't hear this. I mean, do we hear this being said about the Cubs?
No, because they're in the middle of the golden era, and it's Wrigley Field.
Okay, all I'm saying is I want I want the value that I get as entertainment, even if it's expensive beer and hot dogs, but people seem to have factored that into the equation, and people go to the Cubs game, they pay a lot, and it's going to pay more this year, by the way, and they seem to be okay with that. I don't hear that about, I don't have this feeling about the Cubs and the Cubs fans. I do about the, I'm mystified
right, because
by
it's simple.
Fans.
If the team is bad, If you're providing a poor product, why would you invest in that poor product?
Well,
that's really what it comes down to.
I think that's a fair question.
Right? I'm with you, John. Like, if you know, some people are like, well, you're bandwagon fans. It's like, nah, I just don't want to go to a game for a bad team.
Yeah.
Why would I spend all that money?
Why is it bad for me to want to go when they're good?
That's exactly. Right. That's the thing.
You've got to prove yourself. You've got to drop a lot of money when they suck, man, and then you're a fan.
Bandwagon is giving up your allegiance to a team and joining another team. It's not bandwagon if you simply just don't spend $100 to go see Beneath Factor and parking, beer, food, concessions, tickets. Why would I spend $100 on a team that's not even trying to win?
They're on TV, you know. I watch them on TV. Yeah. I like basketball, too.
It was a fun night. It was horrible basketball, so I'm sort of indifferent about the whole thing. But it was a free ticket. It was a great seat. You and I are going to go to a game this year.
You can't get out of here, can you? You've got to go to the United
States. I got to go.
Turn off your microphone and leave.
Bye.
He's heading out for the Hawks game tonight. We've always felt at my house that what they should do to get more people in, and you see this at the White Sox game, say, is just charge less for the tickets. Let people move down into the, like, after the third inning I'll bet you like this, Lauren Lapka. After the third inning, you can move to in like oh at the start at the first pitch of the third inning. Maybe you have a thing. Everybody knows. At the first pitch of the third inning, any seat not occupied is up for grabs.
Oh, it's great. You spend so much time just really scoping and scanning the area.
Well, there you are in the upper deck down the right field line because that's a ticket you can afford when all the more expensive tickets aren't being used. So why not pick a point in time when they say you may advance at your own, you know, discretion to the nearest seat that you want to sit to the ballpark? And if it, nobody's taking it, what's the harm except it looks better on TV? And I would, and the White Sox are actually very good about food and beverage promotions, but I would do everything I can to make it easy for people to get their butts in there and to get them in the best seats possible, regardless of what they can afford. Now, I'm not a team owner, so I don't have much to lose in this. I think they should do everything they can to maximize profits, their businesses, but I'm not sure this would hurt them that much. I have always thought that would get more people in the ballpark. And maybe spending money on hot dogs. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. By the way, so on my Facebook page, I'm WGN King John. Griff, are you going to be able to do this for us now? Maybe we'll take a break and come back. But if you help me with this now, you need to Google. How does this go, Griff?
It's something that a lot of people, it's actually trending on Twitter right now. It started, I think, yesterday. People are Googling. I thought it was simple. Now you got it in my head. Okay.
A Florida man.
Google the words Florida man, and then you add your birthday, whatever the date of your birthday is. Not no year, but my birthday is May 21st. So I'd say Google Florida man, May 21st.
Right.
And then see what the first news story that pops up from that prompt. And that's just something people are doing. Oftentimes, well, we can talk about this. Maybe you don't feel the same way. Oftentimes, the headlines are somewhat comical.
Okay, in a minute on WGN. Okay, so Griff, what's the deal we're doing now? You Google Florida man.
Google Florida man plus your birth date.
We asked you to get them for the on-air staff here just so we get a sampling of what happens when you do that. What happens?
So mine is, my birthday is May 21st, and the headline is Florida man caught searching for threatened gopher tortoises to eat.
What's that headline again? What's that headline
Florida
again?
Florida man caught searching for threatened gopher tortoises to eat.
Gopher tortoises. Oh, it's kind of tortoise.
I think
that are threatened.
I don't know if I'm just psyching myself out of this bit, but this is actually seems fairly normal. There's just a lot of weird words thrown in the headline. Like gopher, I don't know what. I didn't know there was a gopher tortoise, but this guy was hunting tortoises.
Right. And you're not supposed to. They're threatened.
These particular kinds are threatened. Maybe he thought it was a different kind of tortoise that's all good.
Oh, no, don't come to bat for these people.
First of all, who hunts tortoises?
Yeah, I just say, Gobert, don't do that.
We don't do it here in Illinois. You know what? I actually will. I pitched this segment, and now I feel guilty about it, so I will be defending all these people.
Okay, fine.
There's great reasons they did everything they did.
Okay, next birthday, next headline. What have you
got? David, I believe. His birthday is June 23rd.
All right, what was
25th.
It?
Sorry. Well,
suppose you were born on the 23rd.
That'll work.
2 days before your birthday, a Florida man was arrested accused of shoving a woman to get egg rolls. In search of egg rolls, he shoved a woman.
Wow. That's kind of lame.
Who hasn't been there?
She wouldn't let him in. She wouldn't let him in the house to eat egg rolls.
I certainly wouldn't let anyone into my house to eat my egg rolls.
I don't know when I came to the conclusion, but it was not that long ago that I said Florida's our new California. You know, where you see all the crazy people in California.
No. Florida's in a category by itself, because you'll recall there was a couple of incidents of people who were pleasuring themselves out in public.
And that was
in
Florida?
Florida. Yeah. Yes, there are a couple of them.
There's a whole Twitter account dedicated to a Florida man, .. And they constantly put stories like this out. It's hilarious.
Right, yeah.
Next one?
On your birthday, John, October 19th,
okay.
A Florida man climbs up cell phone tower.
See, I wonder if we did this with an Illinois man. I don't know that would be as rich. Maybe you should take the same dates during the news and tell us what happens when you do an Illinois man, October 19th. June 25th.
Yeah, I'll do that.
What was Lauren's? Did we do Lauren's?
I'm afraid something about me will come up.
I know. It may be some of us. Did we do Lapka's birthday? What was yours, Lauren?
I wasn't told what mine was.
Well, we're about to get to it. So,
what's your birthday?
On October 22nd. Do I have that one right, at least?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah. A couple of Libras.
I know.
I'm the 19th, you're the 22nd.
Yeah.
A Florida man 22, allegedly attacked his mother with sausages.
Okay, Griff, go ahead and defend that. That could happen. There's look, a, th- that's the perfectly deal. Defensible.
I guess not defend. I don't.
Go ahead, Griff. Take your time.
All right, can we go back to the cell phone tower yet? Because there was something up there that he needed. I talked to him about it. As for the sausages, I haven't gotten any. He's on his own.
Why don't you combine all these? A Florida man climbed a cell phone tower with sausages and pushed a woman out of the way or something like that. I posted... I posted a picture of a cell phone tower and this notion on my Facebook page before the show. There's a few thousand folks that have seen this, and I'm seeing now many, many comments, so I'll read some of yours here in a minute as you've been doing the very same. But enjoy that, and Griff, your task during the news will be to see if Illinois men are any different. And it's not women. It's men, right? It's men who are doing... That's because generally... Men tend to do dumber stuff than women, right? A lot of guys' last words are, hey, honey, watch this. You don't see women doing stupid stuff the way you do men do. So I think that's just kind of a given. New Zealand has repealed the law that allows people to own the kind of gun that was used at the massacre in Christchurch within 2 weeks of that massacre. I know they're not the United States. That is, they don't have our Constitution. They don't have our Second Amendment. And maybe the way they do things there is evidently different than the way we do things here. But I think that's stunning. There's an article in the New York Times today, and it said 16 different countries, here's the difference between their gun laws. And it is, as you might imagine, easier here than it is in a lot of places. But it bears a little looking at. Particularly in the case of New Zealand. So how do they do that? What happened there? We'll talk a little bit about that in the next hour.
I think it's stunning. It's taken them, what, like 3 weeks? Or less than 3 weeks? And they're already just, we decided we're doing it.
I know. I mean, we can't
even get background checks agreed to, even though the majority of the country says it's a good idea.
Bump stocks were impossible in this country. Just bump stocks, let alone the guns. You've got to admit, even if you are...
But they become illegal next week.
Is that it?
Bump stocks.
Okay, but think about how long since Newtown that's been. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I don't care what side you're on this issue. You have to admit that at least we move more slowly, even if it was a good idea. And I think you could argue that a good idea is something most folks agree on in this case. We can't get it done, and if we do, it's so slow. There, they said, wow, what a bad idea, and 10 days later. Okay, after the news.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Amazing.
Here's John Williams.
Just amazing in a minute. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We'll be here till 3. Then we go to the United Center. Rokon, Anna DeVlantis and company will entertain and inform you in advance of the Blackhawks game. Yeah, the Hawks are playing again tonight at the UC. We're here today until 3. Saturdays, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. On Saturday, we're going to have fun on that show. Rokon and Steve Cochran and some of their friends are with some of our friends out at... are going to be in Arizona. They will be talking White Sox baseball with us and bringing us some warm sunshine from there on our Saturday show, as well as some of the regular features. The thing that made me say amazing just a second ago was comparing the gun laws in this country to the gun laws elsewhere. Now, you just heard the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Who knew her, huh? And now she's on the news all the time. And don't you love that lady's resolve and compassion and, I don't know, anything about her, except for what I've been able to glean and therefore determine, right, from some sound bites and from some longer newscasts. But she seems so intelligent and empathetic and just seems to be saying the right things in a moment of crisis over there. Again, New Zealand's a different country than ours. So just because they do it there doesn't mean we should do it here, right? They have different laws and we might not like theirs. I mean, I'm happy to keep all of that in the back of my mind when I look at some of this. As she talks about the weapons and assault rifles, which she said we're going to ban. She said we're not going to have them anymore. In Japan, here's how you get a gun. There you are, walking down the street in Japan. You go, I think I'll get a gun. If you want to get a gun in Japan, it only takes 13 steps. And they are these. One, take a firearms class and pass a written exam, which is held up to 3 times a year. Number two, get a doctor's note saying that you're mentally fit and do not have a history of drug abuse. Number three, apply for a permit to take firing training, which may take up to a month. Number four, describe in a police interview why you need a gun. Five, pass a review of your criminal history, gun possession record, employment, involvement with organized crime groups, personal debt and relationships with friends, family, and neighbors. Six, apply for a gun powder permit. Seven, take a one-day training class and pass a firing test. Number eight, obtain a certificate from a gun dealer describing the gun you want. And then nine, if you want a gun for hunting, apply for a hunting license. Ten, buy a gun safe and an ammunition locker that meets safety regulations. 11, allow the police to inspect your gun storage. Number 12, pass additional background review. 13, go on out and buy a gun. That's how you get a gun in Japan. That's ridiculous. They do not have a Second Amendment. They do not have anything that says that you ought to be able to have a gun to, you know, have a well-regulated militia or whatever the heck that means. If you ask me, I'd say that's onerous. Because at least in this country, we think you have a right to bear arms. And wait a minute, I want to do that sentence again. Because in this country, you do have a right to bear arms. Thank you, I'm back. Compare that to how you get a gun in the United States. One, pass an instant background check that considers criminal convictions, domestic violence, and immigration status. Two, head on out and buy a gun. Maybe the people that put this list together at the New York Times had a bias. Maybe they're making the Japanese one look more, you know, complicated than it really is, and ours more simple than it really is. But boy, the contrast there is stark. No, I want to live in a world that's somewhere in between. In New Zealand, this is how they do it. Pass a background check that considers criminal, medical, mental health, and domestic violence records. Number two, provide character references. Number three, authorities interview or advise in person your partner or next of kin. Think about that. They interview or advise in person your partner or next of kin. Did you know that your uncle's getting your husband, your son is getting a gun? Wow, if you would red flag that, how interesting that they would tell you. These days we say, I didn't know. We didn't know. Well, you would in New Zealand. Number four, pass a home security inspection that checks for proper firearm storage. Five, take a gun safety course. Six, wait for approval for a firearms license, which could take weeks or months. Seven, buy a gun. I don't think that's so crazy. What it doesn't say here is how the laws work in New Zealand so that if they're outraged, the prime minister and whatever their equivalent of Congress is can in 10 days change the law so that you do not have assault rifles. I'm not exactly sure what that means. That's an imperfect phrase, but I think we know what they look like. And whatever those are, they're not going to allow them. And semi-automatics will no longer be allowed in New Zealand within days of that shooting. Mexico, number one, get a letter from the local authority confirming that you do not have a criminal record. Number two, submit a letter showing your employment status and pay. Three, pass a background check that considers criminal history, employment, and current gun ownership. Four, travel to Mexico City, where the only store authorized to sell guns is located. Five, get fingerprinted. Six, buy a gun. There's one store in Mexico. I'll just do one more. Griff, what would you like to hear? I can get you Brazil, Britain, Germany, India, Israel, China, Austria, Australia. All of them are many more lines than ours.
There's one that's shorter than ours.
You're okay, kidding.
Scroll to the, or oh, you have the Lord. Last one.
Okay, yeah, yeah. In alphabetical order, if you will. Here's Yemen. Go to a gun market and or find a seller online. And you have a gun in Yemen. The only one that's easier than that is the United States. In the United States, you pass an instant background check, and then you buy a gun. In Yemen, they don't have that because they're Yemen. So it's go to a gun market or do it online. Have a nice day.
There were a few that maybe you read one of these. I don't remember.
Just did Japan and New Zealand.
The first step in a few countries, Germany, Britain, and a couple others, is join a shooting club.
Right, right. I'm seeing that. Australia, join and regularly attend a hunting or shooting club or document that you are a collector. Two, complete a course for fire safety operation and pass a written test. And practical assessment, three, this is Australia, arrange firearm storage that meets safety regulations. We don't do that either. I guess that's looking out for the kids. Number four, in Australia, pass a review that considers criminal history, domestic violence, restraining orders, arrest history. Authorities may also interview your family and community members. See, here's the problem with that. I'll finish this, but remind me to come back to number four in Australia. Five, apply for a permit to acquire a specific type of weapon. Six, wait at least 28 days. Seven, buy the specific type of gun for which you received a permit. Go back to Australia now. Number four, pass a review that considers criminal history, domestic violence, restraining orders, and arrest history. Makes sense. Authorities may also interview your family and community members. I can already see the problem with that, and you and I are just now considering this. But what if you're unpopular? Or what if, in fact, the bad guy doesn't like you, right? I mean, I could see a lot of instances where somebody's assessment of you may be prejudiced. Hopefully the authorities will take into account who's right and who's wrong here. But you would hate to think that your legitimate right to own a gun is blocked by somebody in town who just doesn't like you, who's got a grief with you, who doesn't like your ethnicity or your background or whatever, right? So I'm not saying any of these are perfect. But boy, ours is sure pretty short. Let's go back to the USA. It won't take long. Pass an instant background check that considers criminal convictions, domestic violence, and immigration status to buy a gun. It still sounds to me like they're writing that just to tick me off. There must be more to it in the United States, right?
And often in these cases, don't you find that the background check was not thorough enough and things were missed, especially in the domestic violence case?
Absolutely.
There's such a strong link between past domestic violence and mass shootings, and we don't look closely enough. We just don't.
Well, because we don't do any of that. And again, think about how many people in the United States we have and how much work it would take to interview family members and to notify family members and employers. I don't know, did they say employers here? Community leaders? I don't know if that would be an employer. What was the Japan one? Relationship, family members, and neighbors. But I'm thinking about Aurora now. Or I'm thinking of a lot of the cases where you'd say, well, the mom knew or the uncle knew or the boss knew, the girlfriend knew, the ex-wife knew that guy was unstable or had threatened violence or whatever. And incidentally, I'm not sure that just because, say, you had threatened your wife or you screamed at your boss, it doesn't mean you should get a gun or shouldn't get a gun. But I just think that should be part of the packet of information. We're starting with John on line one. You're on WGN. Hey, John, you're on the air.
Morning, or afternoon, actually.
Yeah.
My point is fairly simple about New Zealand. The total population of New Zealand is less than 5 million.
Yeah.
Cook County is above 5 million.
Yeah.
They don't have a Second Amendment. We've got 340 million people in the United States. Yeah, they can act a lot quicker than we can on some issues.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
You can't compare apples to oranges.
Well, you can, but I think you need to keep that in mind. No, I don't. Yeah. Those are good points, and I hope I made that earlier. Certainly, they don't have our Second Amendment. I didn't mention that they're 4-point-something million people, but yeah, it would be impossible to do everything they're doing in Japan or New Zealand to the United States as 330 million people in short order. Well, that's just not possible.
And the point on background checks, okay? Every state is different. Illinois is really pretty good. Everybody who buys a gun has a waiting period.
How long?
After 3 days. From the day you have tried to purchase the gun to the day you can receive it, has to be 3 full days.
And you make that sound significant, but I guess that does keep you from an impulse buy. Is that what you're telling me?
Keeps you from an impulse buy, but... Okay, it's up to the states to actually do the background checks. We go through the Illinois State Police. And last, but certainly not least, the guns that are used in crime are generally not acquired legally.
Yeah. I like what they did in New Zealand, though. The fact that they are nimble enough, lucky enough, let's say, to go, wait a minute, that's crazy. And by the way, gun ownership in New Zealand was pretty liberal. It was amazing how many guns and how many types of guns. I thought New Zealand would be one of those places where nobody had a gun. People have guns in New Zealand.
You have no idea how much of the population is for or against that. All you know is what the politicians there have done.
And I think that's terrific. I think it's terrific. Now, maybe there will be consequences for the politicians who acted heavy-handed in New Zealand, who took away assault rifles and semi-automatics. But in the meantime, I think it's fantastic that about guns, after a tragedy like this, they were able to do that.
And they did the same thing in Australia. And
yeah,
look at Australia's crime rate since then. It's increased by about 27%.
Wow. Well, if that's true, and I got to go Google that, but if that's true, I will keep that in mind, John. I appreciate your phone call.
But wait, one last thing.
Okay.
Over 2.5 million times last year alone, guns in the hands of legal owners stopped violent crimes. And that is an FBI statistic.
Say that again.
Last year, over 2.5 million times, guns in the hands of legal owners stopped violent crimes.
I'm hard-pressed to believe that, but I'm not calling you a liar. I just haven't heard it.
Check the FBI.
I will. No, I absolutely will, and I appreciate your call.
Sure.
Bye. Thanks, John. Appreciate you listening. You just got to be careful. Yeah, I don't want to call that guy a liar. But I also think sometimes statistics aren't as obvious as they sound. Let's pause. My number's 312-981-7200. So I Googled 2.5 million FBI guns used to stop or something like that. And I did find a story that said that according to the NRA, a couple of million times in a recent year, it was 2.some million, people with guns were able to keep crimes from taking place. Now I'm looking at an article on NPR from a year or two ago, and it says the latest data show that people use guns for self-defense only rarely. According to a Harvard University analysis, figures from the National Crime Victimization Survey, and again, you've always got to consider the sources on these things, people defend themselves with a gun in nearly 0.9% of the crimes from 2007 to 2011. David Hemenway, who led the Harbor research, argues that the risks of owning a gun outweigh the benefits. The average person has basically no chance in their lifetime ever to use a gun in self-defense, he tells Here and Now's Robin Young, but every day they have a chance to use the gun inappropriately. Research spread by the gun lobby paints a drastically different picture of self-defense uses. One of the most commonly cited estimates of defensive gun use, published in 1995 by criminologists Gary Kleck and Mark Gertz, concluded there are between 2.2 and 2.5 million defensive gun uses annually. That's what our previous caller said. One of the main criticisms of this estimate is that researchers can't seem to find the people who are shot by civilians defending themselves because they don't show up in hospital records. The Kleck-Gertz survey suggests the number of respondents who reported shooting their assailants was over 200,000, over twice the number of those killed or treated for gunshots in emergency rooms. I guess you could argue, though, that I don't have to fire the gun. If I have a gun and say, go away, I've got a gun, and I point it at them, that is the gun defending me, which I'm okay with.
You do know the standing rule about guns, right?
What's that?
If you draw your weapon,
yeah,
you're going to use your weapon. It's not a show and tell.
Well, that's what they tell police officers. That's my understanding. But I'm suggesting that if the people that this guy's talking about, people who've defended themselves with guns, don't have people going to the hospital as a result, all right, well, then we should have 2 million more people in hospitals for all the people defending themselves with guns. It may be because you didn't pull the trigger. Right, David? That makes sense, that I showed you the gun, or let's just assume that for a minute. I pointed the gun at you and said, get out or I'll shoot, and the bad guy runs away. I'll let you count that as using your gun to save yourself. Absolutely. I don't suppose most people do pull the trigger. Boy, if they do, they're either really bad shots or there's a lot of people stitching themselves up in kitchens. Brian, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My name's Brian. I represent Illinois Gun Owners Together. We're a grassroots group. most of the things that you brought up in your list of different countries that they need to go through to get a gun are included in our background check, such as domestic violence, crime record. Most of that is already encompassed in the background check here in America.
I see. We don't interview the family and friends or notify them that somebody's getting a gun. What did you think of that?
Bert, I'm with you. We're dealing with a sticky situation. I'm personally a gun owner. We're actually headed up to Wisconsin for a little gun shooting today. But it's a right. I don't think you should notify anybody who's buying a gun, their family, their friends. It's a right. And that's what we're dealing with. This is a constitutional right.
Okay, that's an interesting point, and not to be taken lightly, but how about this? Would you meet me halfway if I'm going to buy certain types of guns? Maybe if I cross a certain threshold for ammunitions or guns or number of guns, at some point maybe? How about that?
No, I don't agree with banning any gun. If you pass the background check, you're purchasing something legal.
Yeah.
It's like purchasing a Corvette.
Right. So, and I don't have to tell people.
90 miles an hour.
I know. I don't have to tell people I bought a Corvette, so it's the same thing. That's, I guess, the fundamental difference between you and me, right? Brian, I just feel differently about that.
Fair enough.
But you're winning. I mean, you know, at least you live in the USA. You don't live in New Zealand or Japan. Japan was the one that was really long. Hey, listen, thanks for the phone call. Drive safely up to Wisconsin, okay?
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
I appreciate you listening and calling. So I'm just looking at the brackets here. I'm looking at the scores. So Bradley is down by 2 to Michigan State halfway through the first half with 8:22 left. Bradley's losing 20-18. And my friend Julie is probably not enjoying any of that. They'll be fine. Michigan State's going to win that game. Auburn, this is the 12-5. Some of us had New Mexico State winning that. With 49 seconds left, New Mexico State is down 5. So I don't know who has the ball, but 49 seconds left and a 5-point spread, the 5 over the 12, Auburn over New Mexico State right now. With 11 minutes and 34 seconds left, 13 seed Vermont is tied with Florida State, 44-44, halfway through the second half, 13-4. And Yale gave LSU a game, at least on paper. I didn't see this one. And LSU had a more comfortable margin than this for most of the game. But the final score is LSU 79, Yale 74. And that is that's a 14-3. There was one other game that I was just going to mention here real quick. Belmont and Maryland have just tipped off. A lot of us like the 11 seed Belmont in that one. And Bradley and Michigan State, again, with 8:22 left, Michigan State is up 2 points in that one. So that's all of that. By the way, earlier in the show, and this is on my Facebook page, we just noticed that trending right now is the idea that if you Google a Florida man, those words, Florida man, and your birth date, you'll get all sorts of crazy stories and headlines. When I Googled October 19th, Florida man, I get Florida man climbs up cell phone tower. It seems as though Florida people do the craziest things.
That was pretty tame by the standards of the other.
I was a little disappointed in my birthday.
I'm sorry about your birthday.
Some of them were better, like, you know, guy throws goat off tower or whatever.
There was an assault involving an egg roll. Or in pursuit of an egg roll, a man went to...
He shoved a woman, as I recall. Or she shoved a man. There was an egg roll involved and there was shoving.
Well, it's Florida man. You're looking... It's not Florida person.
It's Florida and man. But I suggested, Griff, this was your assignment. Did you do this?
I did.
Okay. So I said, maybe it's really just any state man. It's a man thing more than it is a Florida thing. If you Googled Illinois man and the same birthdays, what do you get?
I'm not going to read them because they are actual crime stories. They are just real.
So they're not fun, wackiness.
They are not fun.
Oh, okay.
And I think even in the Florida case, it's a very fine line. A lot of them look fun with the headline, and then you read, and it's like, ugh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Or, and then you choose to read them on the radio anyway and make fun of them. That could happen.
Well, I did not do that. Did I do that?
No, I think ours were okay. But it's a fine line with even the Florida ones. In Illinois, they weren't fun. They were not worth reading. I even sort of tried to help the Google algorithm along by typing Illinois man, May 21st, my birthday, and then I added egg roll. See, maybe.
And there was actually a very serious and unfortunate crime involving egg rolls on your birthday, not the wacky fun kind we're looking for?
No, it just directed me to Hunan Egg Roll King Delivery. And look, I appreciate it. They may be getting a call from me, but it's not what you were looking for.
No, but maybe that makes the original point that, in fact, it's not every state. Illinois just comes up with lame, serious crimes. Florida has the wacky, fun ones.
I'm really trying here. So in the Hunan Egg Roll King Delivery Grubhub reviews, yeah, it's not exactly the same as what we were talking about, but someone did say that the delivery man pushed the food at him and it fell on the floor. Now, does that...
No, that's drilling down way too far.
All right, well, then in that case, you got nothing.
Okay, just one last thing then. Google Illinois man wacky and a birthday. Huh? I mean, that's cheating now.
If we do find anything, it's the result of some really terrible headline writing, which is a wacky Illinois man. I don't think that's how it's taught in J school.
Okay, but if then it's more Florida than it is Illinois. That is, the goofier people and the wackier crimes do take place in Florida as opposed to Illinois.
I just for the sake of argument, I did what you suggested, and no. There is a large deer knocks on an Illinois man's door.
Hey, that's crazy, Griffin.
It's pretty nuts.
What's the other state, though, that you think would be most fertile for this sort of thing?
It's obviously Florida. That's why it's a thing.
What's the next state? Illinois is not. I'm thinking Idaho or Oregon or
I think
one
Florida,
of those.
Florida is perfect because it's a weird place and it's very populous. So
yeah, that's true. That helps.
It's high density right. And just weird.
And there's a lot of transients. A lot of people just go to Florida because it's Florida. It's warmer and they got no state income tax. It's a very interesting
there's
blend
so
of
many.
Humans.
Well, that's why Florida is... It's kind of a shame that it only comes up when you're making fun of it like this. But again, I'm going to bat for you, Florida. I'm trying. It's a fascinating place. There's so many different kinds of people packed into it.
Yeah.
And there's crazy wildlife. It's a very fascinating place to me.
There's Cubans. There's East Coast Jews. There's people from all around the country that are just going to retire. There's
in northern Florida, it's basically like the South, right? I mean, like, you know, there's...
Yes.
It's just...
Yes.
It's a fascinating place.
And then there's Disney and Orlando.
Disney, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then, people going on vacation, like you said.
I still think if you just did Idaho, just do for me, Idaho man and a birthday. Just see what you get.
Never would have suggested this if I knew this is what I had in store.
Just humor me. By the way, when we recorded the Mincing Rascals podcast, the weekly podcast we record here at WGN Radio with folks that do some of the talk shows and some of the folks that do some of the editorial and column writing at the Chicago Tribune, this topic came up. Toni Preckwinkel is pulling her TV ads. I just want to read from you Juan Perez Jr.'s story in part in the Chicago Tribune Online. With 2 weeks to go before the April 2nd runoff election, Cook County Board President Toni Preckwinkel has stopped airing TV commercials, a development that raises questions about her campaign's funding and viability in the race's closing days. Preckwinkel, who is the Cook County Democratic Party chair, has reported raising nearly $1.6 million to rival Lori Lightfoot's $1.9 million. They got about the same amount of money since the first round election, records show. Those sums include fundraising in the past week, during which Preckwinkel has reported raising nearly $360,000, I presume additional dollars. But in the last few weeks, Lori Lightfoot has raised $1.1 million. Still, by my accounting, this means that Preckwinkel had at her disposal almost $2 million. She said, quote, "We're making strategic decisions to put us in the best place to win in this campaign. We're making strategic decisions to put us in the best place to win this campaign," Preckwinkel said. All right. I'm not exactly sure how not running TV commercials helps. Asked whether her campaign had run out of money, Preckwinkel said, quote, "We're making strategic decisions to put us in the best place to win this campaign. Thank you."
When I don't want to pitch in on the bill at a restaurant, say I say I'm making strategic decisions about
the best way to not pay this bill. Thank you.
Hey, John, I go back to Florida for a minute?
Please do.
I had to do it.
Kim Gordon in the newsroom, in the wacky newsroom.
Yes, I had to put in Florida Man on my birthday, and I got nearly nude Florida Man rides bike backward on Miami Interstate.
What I'm talking now, that does not happen on an Illinois headline search.
And now, doesn't that almost sounds like news or ruse?
I know, that's something Rokan would put up there, and then you have to decide if it's real or not.
If it's real or not, and that is real.
Do that again in your best news voice, please.
Nearly nude Florida man rides bike backward on Miami Interstate.
More at 10.
What that means for your weekend.
Cover your eyes and drive.
Because then you've got to make it valuable to me, the consumer. Okay, so there's that. But you still haven't done Idaho yet. There's a gold mine in Idaho.
I've got a lot of sad Idaho stories for you if you want me to read them, but I'm not going to do that.
It's not going to work.
I tried it. It didn't work. Somebody called in and then broke up before I got to put him through or got his information. He said there's a law in Florida where they have to release all of the arrest records.
Yeah.
And so that's why, and I guess there's not a law that does that in other states.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that.
I don't know.
You read the police blotter in the Sun-Times?
I am telling you what he told me.
Oh. All right. Are we done with this, Griff, or should we just keep on going with that?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm going to finish my just question about Tony Preckwinkle's situation here, and then I want to move on to something far more serious. We'll put a commercial break, I think, in between. Griff, just a little in-house here. I can take a break in between. This Preckwinkle thing is kind of fascinating to me because, first of all, I hate the dismissiveness of any politician, incumbent, or candidate. If it sucks for you that you don't have enough money and you can't believe that Lori Lightfoot is going to beat you after all you've been through, you're Tony Preckwinkle, you're the Cook County Board Chair, and you beat 17 other people, you beat Bill Daley, for God's sakes, and now you're running out of money? Are you kidding me? I can understand your frustration. The election's in 2 weeks. There's nothing strategic about not running TV commercials. Here's what I would respect. If they said, hey, Tony, why are you pulling your TV commercials? If she looked right square into the camera and she said, you know what? This has been very frustrating for me. I've had a life of trying to serve the people of Cook County, and I want to lend that same stewardship to the people of Chicago. I know I can do that. You know, go ahead and just own that thing and then say it's very frustrating, and now we're out of money. I ask you, the citizens of Chicago, even though I can't run a commercial right now, to remember that and do that. Just own it. Because the only thing this is you're out of money. If it's something else and I can't think of what it is, and it's embarrassing to be out of money to Lori Lightfoot 2 weeks before the campaign, what, can't you manage a campaign? And by the way, dollars are votes, so it sure does look bad for you here. But I mean, just own it. Just tell us the truth. Maybe that will work because there is nothing strategic about not running commercials. That's the opposite of strategic. You're going to hide? What are you going to do, billboards? I mean, how are you going to? You've got some other strategy for the money? I'd like to know what it is.
The news click that's up now is, so do you think she's just giving up? Or, like she says, does she have better things to do with that money? Is this a strategic
right. Yeah. Do you really think it's strategic? Because I think it's a punt. And by the way, we ran into this not that long ago. Bruce Rauner ran all the way to the very end. And at the end, you realized he didn't want to be governor again anyway. And this sort of feels a little bit like that. And Preckwinkle must know this. You must be thinking.
You think it feels like that?
I think she really wants the job. But I also think this looks like she simply doesn't have the resources. And she's giving up. She's quitting. Well, she is. She's not running ads. I mean, is she going to go door to door? That's how you do it. Okay, I'm done. That's the news click. It's 2:47. Just looking at the scores online, it looks like that Auburn-New Mexico State game is about to go final. 1 second left, and Auburn is winning 78-77. The 5 seed over the 12. 1 second left on the clock, at least online. Wow. And you've got in the second half, with 8 minutes remaining, Number 13, Vermont, is playing even with Florida State. That's with 8 minutes left. It's now Florida State 50, Vermont 48. The Bradley-Michigan State game is causing some of you great anxiety and others great joy. With 3.5 minutes left in the first half, Bradley's beating Michigan State 29-28. That game ain't over. By the way, Mike on line one wanted to say something. You're on WGN. Mike, it's John Williams. What can I do for you?
How's it going, John? I had a theory on this, why Toni Preckwinkle isn't advertising. Maybe she's playing to the fatigue that all the voters have on all the political commercials that are on TV all the time. Yeah. And she's gone ahead and giving the people a break. And maybe 1 or 2 days before the election, she'll start bombarding us once again. But she's just taking a break from it and giving everybody a chance to, not see the commercial.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Maybe, I mean, hey, you know what? I think I would have said that. Hey, Tony, I would have said that. I would have said, you know what? Enough with the commercials already. I'm just going to keep doing the work for the citizens, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I'm going to have one last push of a message the last week. But right now, let's just all, I don't know, smell the flowers and enjoy spring. I hope so,
what,
Mike?
Spring?
Yeah.
What spring?
Well, I'm working on it, Mike. We're trying to help her here.
Yeah, okay. Tell Tom about it.
Thanks for the phone call. Tell Tom about it. Were those his last words? Is he talking about Thomas Jefferson? Oh, Tom Skilling, maybe, yeah. Tom, to me, is Jefferson. Tom to Rokon and you, maybe, is Skilling. I thought I would close the show today with just a reminder of who John McCain is. Seems like some folks who either don't know or have forgotten who John McCain is, and his legacy and his name have been in the news of late. And I just wikied him to make sure I had the story right. The wiki on him is 30 pages long, and the articles are endless, as are the books. But I thought I would just mention a few things that maybe are worth mentioning this week. John McCain graduated from the United States Naval Academy in 1958 and was commissioned in the United States Navy. He flew ground attack aircraft from aircraft carriers during the Vietnam War. He almost died in 1967 while on a bombing mission that he volunteered for. He was shot down, seriously injured, and captured by the North Vietnamese. He was a prisoner of war until 1973. He experienced episodes of torture and refused an out-of-sequence early release. He retired from the Navy as a captain in 1981, moved to Arizona, entered politics. In 1982, he was elected to the United States House of Representatives, did 2 terms, served in the Senate starting in 1987. While generally adhering to conservative principles, McCain also had a media reputation as a maverick for his willingness to break from his party on certain issues. His supportive stances on LGBT rights, gun regulations, and campaign finance reform were significantly more liberal than the party's base. McCain was investigated and largely exonerated in a political influence scandal in the 1980s. He was one of the Keating Five. He then made campaign finance reform one of his signature concerns, which eventually resulted in the passage of the McCain-Feingold Act. That was in 2002. He was also known for his work in the 1990s to restore diplomatic relations with Vietnam and for his belief that the Iraq War should have been fought to a successful conclusion. He secured the nomination for president in 2008 after making a comeback from early reversals, but he lost the general election and subsequently adopted more orthodox conservative stances and attitudes and largely opposed the actions of the Obama administration. He refused to support then-Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump in 2016. He opposed the Affordable Care Act, but cast the deciding vote against the ACA, repealing American Health Care Act of 2017 bill. His father and grandfather were, of course, in the Navy and rose to the highest ranks there. He was a friend and informal leader of many of his college classmates, sometimes stood up for targets of bullying. He also fought as a lightweight boxer. McCain did well in academic subjects that interested him, literature and history, but studied only enough to pass the subjects that gave him difficulties, such as mathematics. He came into conflict with higher-ranking personnel and did not always obey the rules, which contributed to a low-class rank. He was 894 of 899 students, despite having a high IQ. McCain requested a combat assignment and was assigned to the aircraft carrier USS Forrestal, flying the A-4 Skyhawk. His combat duty began when he was 30 years old, mid-1967. Wounded, captors said they would release him early. He said not out of order, and then they began to torture him every other hour. Various advocacy groups have given McCain scores or grades as to how well his votes align with their positions. The American Conservative Union awarded McCain a lifetime rating of 82% through 2015. So all the maverick that he was, all that he would sometimes break with tradition, at the end of his career, the conservative scorekeeper said he was an 82. The liberal quotient for the Americans for Democratic Action gave him a 12. So still very much a conservative politician, especially at the very last years of his life, with the exception being his disagreement with the president about health care. And then the list goes on. You know, when you get to the end of the wiki on John McCain, it's almost a full page of single space about the awards that he got from every conceivable organization and place, including Japan, Kosovo, Ukraine. I circled other cities and countries that were handing him lifetime achievement awards or peace awards or awards for something that he did. But there isn't almost an award or an honor that he did not receive. That's the John McCain story. It's 2:57. Let's pause here. The stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom and a quick trip to the United Center. Let's say hi to Roa and Anna coming up on WGN.
Happily so, John. Ah. It's already, you can feel the excitement out here.
Yes.
Big game.
There's no one here, but we're excited. Yes, that's the most important thing.
If you get a chance, by the way, Kevin was there last night for the Bulls game.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance, ask him about that.
I thought of you, John, because right when I walked through the new atrium, there was a group of about 12 people around the Michael Jordan statue. I was explaining to John that the Jordan factor still applies here because it was just about a packed house for a Bulls-Wizards game, two teams in the bottom of the Eastern Conference, and it was still pretty packed here. John wasn't buying into the whole Jordan
mystique of it all.
I told them there was. I saw a kid who was probably 14, never saw Michael Jordan play a single basketball, and he had a Michael Jordan jersey on.
He thinks that that's still good enough. That because Jordan was good,
I think it is.
People are okay with the Bulls, and I'm like, no, I don't.
They sell out. I know they do,
but I think they sell out, and people aren't happy. They're sitting in there thinking we overpaid for this. And by the way, Jordan's not here.
Yeah, but like what Babe Ruth and all the legends of the Yankees have done to the Yankees. I mean, think about the. No, I'm serious.
It's the same. Hey, hold on a second. Hold on. Let me tell you something. I want to suggest something to you, John, and everybody listening right now. Richard Roper turned us on to this. It's a doc on, I want to say Netflix, or is it on Prime? Hulu. It's on Hulu. It's called Unbanned.
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 Is it sports related?
It is about the Jordan Air Jordan ones, the AJ ones, how the guys at Nike were able to get Michael Jordan coming out of North Carolina. Nobody ever heard of him to name a shoe after him. This was a total risk. He hurt his leg. People don't remember this. In his rookie year, he was out for 6 weeks. And it is the most amazing documentary. And the people who are in it, they talk about the cultural. You know, Michael Jordan is now worth $1.8 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's because of that. And so.
Defining moment.
Yes,
that sounds interesting.
$1 billion of that is because of Nike. And it explains the whole thing and all the people who are making the decisions and what a great risk this was. And had Jordan not become Jordan, Nike would have gone under.
Okay, well, I'm going to go now. But maybe I'll go buy a shoe.
Buy some Bulls tickets, John.
Have a real good show,
you
guys.
You know what? John, excuse me. Do you know what original Air Jordan 1s in the box would be worth today?
No, I have no idea.
$150,000.
You're kidding.
No.
Seriously?
Yep.
I wonder what they retailed for at the time. Were they $100?
I bet
they weren't even that,
I think,
huh?
39, right?
Was seriously.
50 bucks.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
But who would keep them in a box?
Yep. $150,000.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, John. Nice meeting you, John.